You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Today I'm reading Dance Princess Dance, Part 9, Calling Mr. Foxglove. Prince Cyrus would not wake up, and that was the least of their problems. Kai had never thought of himself as claustrophobic. Growing up, he and his foster mother stayed in all kinds of tiny rooms, some of them no larger than cupboards. Indeed, he'd spent many a pleasant hour surrounded by books and quills and ink inside actual cupboards, which were always the most convenient bolt holes. Kai had learned from an early age to stay out of the way when Mama was teaching the other children, the rich ones she was paid to educate. There was something about knowing they could not escape now that made the walls of these fancy royal suites press in around him, more confining than any cupboard had ever been. Things were still awkward between he and Dennis, and Camilla hadn't even made eye contact with him yet. Kai would give anything to be out of here, to be away from everyone. It was too soon to try to be back in the gang. Except, of course, that right here was when they were finally learning the story behind all this magic and madness, and Kai always wanted to be where the story was. Jack had interrupted them, back at the soldiers' digs, before he and Sergeant Clay had warmed up to telling their own story. Kai and Zig hadn't even got their hot chocolate. Right now, Prince Chase sat on the bed beside his still-sleeping brother, refusing to budge. Corporal Jack stood at his side as if she was still playing bodyguard, though Kai wasn't fooled. Her proximity to Chase was all about wanting to comfort her friend without either of them admitting it. Princess Camilla sat at the foot of the bed, arms hugged around her knees, her face grave. Kai's attention was drawn, as always, to the tangled, twisting ink tattoos that wound around her from wrist to elbow. The ink tugged at him, but he wasn't stupid enough to confuse that with intimacy. He was not forgiven. Ziggy and Dennis knelt on the ground near Sergeant Clay, who'd commandeered one of the chairs. His friend Saladin stood near him, more comfortable on his feet than in a chair. Both men had a look about them. They wished to be anywhere but here. He knew the feeling. The greenery outside the windows and doors had to be fairy magic. There was nothing that any of them could do against that. "Her name was Illyria," said Sarge, sounding gutted. "She was the younger sister of one of our platoon, Barnaby. After he died, she was like a sister to all of us. We promised to look out for her, to keep her safe. We did not know about the fairy godmother curse until it was too late," said Saladin in a low voice. Everyone in the room shifted uncomfortably. Ziggy met no one's eyes. Kai had read a lot about fairy sightings and stories in the Charming Herald archives. It was not an area of research he'd ever paid much attention to before. His foster mother always steered him away from such things. It was clear from his research that Ziggy, who had a fairy godmother of her own, had been lucky to get away with not losing her soul or her freedom. Magic always came with a price. "Godmothers grant wishes," said Sarge heavily. "Small ones at first to get you hooked, then more epic, life-changing wishes, until the bill's too high for any human to pay. Illyria's godmother was a creature called Bluebell. We didn't notice what she was doing at first. She spent her wishes on a new pair of boots or a meal to share, a sunny day when it should have been thick rain and fog. We didn't know how deep she'd gone until we fought a battle. And it was as if the enemy couldn't touch us. Any of us. Every weapon whistled over our heads. The entire platoon." "How did she pay for it?" Dennis asked. He blushed hotly when everyone looked at him. "What? I was born around here, same as the rest of you. I know how fairy stories work." "Too true," said Saladin. "Illyria had gone into grave debt. By the time we realised what was happening, she had sold herself in hock to Bluebell in that other world. One morning she was gone, leaving nothing behind but a patch of bluebells growing out of her sleeping sack." "She came back once or twice," grunted Sarge. always looking to give us something, to grant wishes. That's when we figured out she'd become one of them, a fairy godmother. And she was calling herself Clover, said Ziggy. Miss Clover, my fairy godmother. It's her, isn't it?
I thought so, back when we first collected you, said Sarge. That business with the Midnight Princess, and it had her mark all over it.
Well then, said Ziggy, standing up, her chin lifting as if she was a princess all over again. There's a fairly obvious solution to our predicament. I can summon her to us. Now.
No way, said Kai and Dennis, leaping to their feet at the same time, speaking in unison. They glared at each other.
Weren't you listening? Dennis accused. There's always a price, Zig. Ask for too many favours, you'll end up like her.
What choice do we both have? Ziggy snapped at them both, eyes blazing. I'm a hound now. My job is to protect the royal family with my life. That doesn't go away because the thing threatening us is something other than a knife or a crossbow bolt.
In his sleep, Prince Cyrus coughed for a moment. Chase turned in panic. Turn him on his side.
What? Said Camilla.
But Jack reacted instantly, helping Chase to turn his brother over. Cyrus's mouth fell slightly open, and something fell out of it.
Is that a berry? Kai blurted out.
Camilla glared at him, which, yes, was worse than ignoring him.
It's a pomegranate seed, said Sarge, like he wanted to punch something.
Saladin came alert.
Your Highness, do you think you and your brother ate or drank anything while in the fairy realm?
Prince Chase's face went blank.
Kai didn't need his fairy research to know how bad this could be. It was laid out in every ballad sung in every tavern.
Ziggy, said Chase in a low voice, do it.
Kai felt a burst of anger at that. Was Prince Cyrus's safety more important than hers? But of course they all thought that. It was a fairy tale kingdom. Royals took precedence.
Ziggy snatched up a candle from the mantel and went to the window, grabbing handfuls of bluebells and clover to press into the wax.
Someone light this for me. There was a matchbook near the grate, but before Kai could reach for it, Saladin was at Ziggy's side with a tinderbox from his belt.
Do not be reckless, the soldier said in a low rasp.
Don't get your hopes up, Ziggy said as she lit the makeshift candle. Last time I did this, she didn't even answer. Instead, I got
a far superior replacement, broke in a mocking voice right behind Kai.
He spun around, recognizing the fairy gentleman who had fought with the Sarge that night months ago.
Mr. Foxglove, said Ziggy.
The gentleman was young and devastatingly beautiful, with dark floppy hair and twinkling violet eyes. He wore an assortment of clothes that looked as if they belonged to another era or several periods of history, like some errant time traveller. His doublet was ragged, but embroidered with dainty skill. He wore bangles and baubles around his bare ankles that made a shimmering sound as he crossed the room.
You, said Chase, in a shaky voice, staring at the stranger. I danced with you.
And it was unforgettable, purred Foxglove, circling around the various people in the room, on his way to the window where Ziggy stood frozen, watching him. He did not get that far. Chase did not allow it.
What have you done with my brother, you fairy swine? The prince howled, and threw himself at the fairy, punching him in the face.
Foxglove glowed with a fierce light. He looked ugly now, all gnarled and twisted in his fury.
Why don't you go find out? He shrieked back at the prince.
Kai saw Dennis moving, and Jack, too, trying to get to Chase in time, but it was as if time itself slowed down to prevent them reaching him. The room filled with bright, blinding blue light, and Kai was lost to it.
They were all lost.
Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can follow me on Twitter and Tumblr at TansyRR and at Sheep Might Fly. Like my page on Facebook at TansyR Roberts and collect a free ebook of my story, Fake Geek Girl, by following the link in the show notes.
See you next time.